So going back to last week, for some of us that weren't here, we went over Jonah and the outline of, we spoke of Jonah, thought of Jonah in the man that was, in the outline that I had was in chapter 1, in the storm at sea. Jonah in the storm at sea, a disobedient man, running from the Lord. The Lord told him to go to Nineveh, and he went the exact opposite direction. And we considered the people of Nineveh as well, and who they were, and how wicked they were. They were men that were, and we've considered how their works, how evil their works were, and they were men that were extremely wicked. And we've thought of them and how they were extremely fierce and cruel people. And those are the ones that Jonah was sent to. Those are the ones that the Lord called Jonah specifically to go to. And Jonah, as a disobedient man, went in the opposite direction. And we've thought also of how the consequences of that. When the Lord calls us to go somewhere, and Jonah seems to have, in chapter 1, he seems to have paid vows. He would have, as it were, said vows. Or chapter 2, paid that I have vowed. It seems to suggest maybe that he would have told the Lord that I would go anywhere. And the Lord says, go to Nineveh, of all places. And he did not go, and he went, and the consequences of disobedience. We thought of Hebrews chapter 12, and that speaks of the chastening of the Lord, and how God goes after those, us, each one of us. He scourges everyone, and he chastens each one of it that are his own. If you're without chastisement, you're illegitimate, is what it says. So God deals with us, each of us, individually, and we thought of that with Jonah. But it's also to be partakers of his holiness, that we might be able to there might be fruit from that. And you can see Jonah as we're coming to chapter 2 here, we can see how the fruit of we first see the chastening of the Lord, and then we're going to see how the fruit afterwards, and how Jonah, how the Lord used it for his good. It was for obedience and the result of that. So we'll just, and I know also someone asked me last week if I believe that the people in chapter 1, the sailors, the group of the heathen sailors, if they would be in heaven. And I believe that from what, it's hard to say specifically that they would be in heaven, but from what I understand, this whole book of Jonah is a God's mercy. You can see how the group of sailors, God shows his mercy to them. His mercy to an individual. God shows his mercy to an individual and to a heathen nation, the Gentile, Assyria. So, and with, how did Jonah know? Jonah was cast overboard. How did Jonah know that they offered up sacrifices and they were exceedingly afraid of, they feared the Lord exceedingly, offered up sacrifices? Jonah was in the water already by that time. So this could have been divinely given to him. It's a specific reason why it's here, that these people were changed. They turned, as it were, from idols to serve the living God, it seems like. So, like the Thessalonians. So in a sense, I believe they did turn to the Lord, and God had mercy on them. So with that, let's read Jonah chapter 2, and we can read chapter 3 as well together. Then Jonah prayed unto the, for context, let's go back to verse 15. So they took the sailors, the heathen sailors, took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon their dry land. Chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For a word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So that's going to be sufficient for now. Just thinking of Jonah and how this is still breaking in from verse 17, I guess, of chapter 1. Thinking of Jonah still in the sea, a disobedient man, and how Jonah, in his extreme disobedience, he was willing rather to drown to cast me over. He says he was willing rather to drown than to go to Nineveh. That was basically where this story comes to this point. And now, but the Lord had a different plan. The Lord had it all calculated, and we've thought of the thread of God's sovereignty going right through Jonah. It's full of it. Every we could go right through, as we've considered some last week. We went through some of them already in chapter 1, and how God was going after him. Jonah wasn't going to get away from the presence of the Lord. And it's wonderful to see in chapter 2 how Jonah, as he was in chapter 1 running from the presence of the Lord, in chapter 2 he turns unto the Lord. And as you've thought of that saying, there's no refuge from him, only in him. So that is something that we can consider ourselves here today. And so now, in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This verse, it speaks of the Lord had prepared beforehand. You think of how Jonah in his strength was running from the Lord. He is running a disobedient man. He is a man that is his self-will. He is strong in himself. But as he comes face to face with God's chastening hand, you'll see a difference, a different Jonah coming out of there. And now the Lord had prepared, so God sovereignly, as the first mention here says, he had prepared, one of the four. But earlier in the chapter, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, But the Lord sent out a great wind. So also in a sense, he prepared this. He sent out, he hurled a storm into the sea. But now here in verse 17, the Lord had prepared. So the Lord knew everything that was going on. God calculated this trial for Jonah was meted out by the Lord, every detail of it. And this story has been under attack by many critics. The story of Jonah, many people say, is a myth. It could not have happened. They go over naturally trying to find out how could this work? A man being 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, and they come out with being skeptical and full of unbelief, saying this is not true. And then liberal theologians would say that it's just to kind of make it softer. It's allegory. It's something. It's like a story that God. It's not really a real historical figure, but the Lord Jesus very clearly substantiates this. He speaks of Jonah. He says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so in like manner shall I be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So the Lord Jesus very clearly speaks of Jonah as a real historical figure, that this actually happened. And this is something that we have to recognize as Christians. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's something that for us, God is outside of the natural. We think of why do we have to think that it has to be natural for it to be true? God is so great. We think of there's so much in the scriptures that speaks of the Lord. When we think of how he's the one that it speaks of, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's something that we can ourselves, because God's word says it. That is a big difference, is God has it in his word, and it's for our learning. So as we've thought of Jonah the last few days, last time, is to think of him as practically for us. What can we learn in our lives? It's written for our learning. So we can learn from Jonah. We ourselves can learn in our lives what God can teach us from Jonah. So the skeptics might say all they want to say. They speak of the whole scriptures. They speak of unbelief. But we have a God who is, and we can think in Genesis 18, it says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? We can take this whole Bible and just take it out. See, either you believe the whole Bible, because it's full of things that are outside of the natural. God does things in there absolutely incredible. What about the men in the furnace? The three men, when the Lord was there with them. What about them? How is it possible for them to be kept alive? And how about Daniel in the lion's den? You think of him. How is it possible? He very clearly showed the God's sovereign hand there. God is the God of the miraculous. He does miracles. So we don't need to go by thinking it's how close is it to, is it possible that these things happen? God is great. He is able. The creator, is he not able? The one who holds all things by the word of his power. He's able to do those things. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1, it speaks about that. So we don't need scientific proof. We don't need anything that would be as facts that it would say, oh, he was able to, maybe could he be able to, because they say that the skin would be bleached. And there have been people that have been in Wales that did some research and for hours and for even days, and their skin was bleached. They were sick. It's very messy. But this is not the case of Jonah, I don't believe. This is a miracle that God worked here. So basically, God says it, we believe it. And that is why, that is what I want us to, as Christians, to appreciate, that we don't have to look for the natural and things like that. So the Lord, the God of, is the God of the impossible. So there's a story that I heard once. Someone asked this Christian woman and asked her, so do you believe, a man of the world, but do you believe that a whale swallowed Jonah? Actually believe it. She said, you know what she said? She says, if God's word says that Jonah swallowed a whale, I would believe it. And I thought about that many times. I thought, this is really, it's the truth. If God says it, we must believe it. So therefore, that is, I'll borrow the words of Romans 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every man a liar. So we can trust God's word. We can trust that Jonah was not digested. He was still well able to go to Nineveh. And then, so with this, the Lord had sovereignly prepared this fish. He had prepared him specifically for Jonah. And it could have been, the New Testament interpreted a whale, but the word could be used as a great fish as well. It could be a special creature the Lord created specifically for everything. So I believe that is the case, that the Lord specifically prepared a great fish that was able to hold Jonah for 3 days and three nights and keep him alive there. The Lord was able. So that is the sovereign act. And we think of another thing of two sovereign acts that are pictures of the Lord Jesus. In this verse 17, he was 3 days and three nights. The duration was sovereignly. The duration of Jonah being in the whale was sovereignly allowed by God. 3 days and three nights. And also, it is a picture of the Lord Jesus going down in death, burial, and resurrection. So those are two things that God actually used out of this man, Jonah, errant man, a man that was running from God. The Lord used him as a picture. The Lord Jesus used him as a picture of himself. So the Lord speaks of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So the Lord Jesus did go down. And we'll see, he also resurrected. And we can see in the story of Jonah, it's a picture of both. Of him also being gloriously resurrected, as it were. One that was miraculously also vomited out. So in chapter 2, we'll go into chapter 2 then. And as I thought, Jonah was one that went in this strong, in his own will, disobedient, running from God, And you should realize the futility of this, running from God. And there is no refuge from God. There is no refuge. And every sinner will find this out one day. But even the believers, us, when God has something for us and we run from his word, when he says something in his word for us, and we disobey and we go the opposite direction, there will be consequences. And God is going to deal with us in love. He's going to have to deal with us in love. And if this is what it comes to, here in chapter 2, it says, after 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah was a strong man going into this. And he comes out a weak man. He comes out a broken man. His will was broken after God had his way with him. In verse 1, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. That's something that we can enjoy, we can appreciate, we can have comfort in this. This verse, specific verse, verse 2, was a verse that was a great encouragement to me when I was in deep darkness. Before I even studied Jonah, before I even went into Jonah, this verse, because I remember reading it, and it hit me and it stuck with me for a long time. If God can hear Jonah in the belly of hell, as it were, God can hear me. That is the depths of that is a personal thing I enjoyed of this verse. It's a powerful verse. A verse that God, this is the God that we have. We think of Jonah, you can see here, he is brought to extremities. His soul is brought to, he's brought to the end of himself, absolute end of himself. And he is, you can read, as we read through this chapter, you can read, he describes it, he speaks of, thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me, surrounded me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. This reminds us of our Lord Jesus and his cry as well. And it speaks here, he speaks of being his soul, he is cast out of thy sight. He speaks of his soul, even to the soul. The waters compassed him about, even to the soul. And when my soul is faint within me, you can see all this language that he speaks of. And he also speaks of, and the earth with her bars is about me forever, which would speak in a sense of imprisonment. You couldn't get out. And dear Christian, I don't know where you are right now. I remember sitting in the pews many times, at times in the past, and feeling, oh, I wish God would speak to me in this way. And I cry by reason of my affliction. This verse is a powerful verse. And that's where, but God deals with us. He dealt with Jonah in love. That's something that the Lord did his work with me. And there's much work that he has to do with us. And that is what Jonah was a disobedient man, and he was strong-willed. And the Lord, in his sovereignty, brought him to this place. So now, Jonah is in distress. He is in distress. And why does he cry unto the Lord? It says in verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. So he is brought to the place where he is crying unto the Lord. Now he's not running from God, away from God. Now he realizes in his extremities, he's realizing his soul being in distress. He realizes he needs God. He needs God more than anything else. And he's also recognizing something else. He's recognizing chapter 2, the absolute sovereignty of God. And if you're ever going to realize the sovereignty of God, you will realize it when you're in this place. That you cannot do one thing to get yourself out. You're in darkness. You're in chains, as it were, and you can't get out in afflictions. But Jonah had the same God that Jonah had is our God. And that is, he has the same heart. He has the same God. And he brought Jonah to this point, that Jonah, this is the chastening of the Lord in chapter 2. Hebrews 12 speaks about that. It speaks of God chastening us, which is grievous, which is not, it's not joyous, but grievous. It speaks of that, but afterwards. And we see the afterwards. So God here has his way with Jonah. So what circumstances Jonah is found in? He is found in the darkest, deepest circumstances. That's might be where you are at. I don't know if you've ever been there, or if you're maybe there right now, or in the future, if you're going to be there. Remember this story. This God is still our God. And he is the God that feels. He's the God that was waiting for Jonah to cry out to him. It took 3 days and 3 nights. I don't know what Jonah was doing in the meantime. He went through some dark times, but he didn't even remember the Lord, it seems. He says, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And we thought last week of of how the Lord hears when we cry, and how He is one that is ever. He never forsook Jonah, and that's something that we can appreciate deeply, because there's a price for that. There's a price that came with that. God would never be able to even look at us in our sin. This is something we think of our Lord Jesus, and we think of this same chapter. We think of how He went through the darkest. We think we've gone through dark times. Our Lord went through far deeper, darker, that we could never fathom or enter into what He went through. His darkness here, think of Jonah. Jonah was never really truly forsaken of God. He never truly was. He was there. The moment he cried, it seems like the Lord heard us. Thou heardest his prayer came right to the Lord. Maybe the Lord didn't answer right away, but his prayer came right to the Lord. But when the Lord Jesus went on the cross, we think of Him, and we think of how He was forsaken of His God, the one that He pleased fully, the obedient one, fully obedient. He was never rebellious. In everything He did, He fully pleased the heart of God. He is that one that received a turned away face, utterly forsaken of His God. There was no, and He, one that it was never was there anyone closer to God, and never was there anyone that would have felt, the closer you are, the more extreme you would feel that turned away face, that abandonment. But we think of Jonah here, we think of our Lord Jesus, and He went through the deepest, darkest things for us. And that's something we can appreciate in our hearts right now. We can appreciate this, that our Lord Jesus came at a cost, that we are able to be heard. We are able to be heard when we cry, and God will hear us. But it came at a cost of His precious Son. He was willing to go in that and to take this for us. Our Lord Jesus knew it all, knew all what lay in store for Him. He did not turn back. So that's just a thought of this year. And I also want to speak of Jonah's faith. We think of when we are in those places, when we find there's nothing that we can do, we cannot get out of this darkness, we realize it has to be the Lord that does it, and He is able. Jonah here in verse 4, and this is what we ought to do when we are in those places, is to trust in the Lord. Jonah says, "Yet then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet." That's a choice that Jonah made. He recognized that the Lord fell far from him, and he realized that he has ran from God, and he felt at a distance from God, and he felt in darkness, because that's what it would have been physically in the whale's belly, and there would have been extreme heat. There would have been an incredible environment, if you can picture it. It's hard to even fathom being in a whale's belly. We can't fathom it, but it was, in a sense, I don't believe, and William McDonald also helped me with that. He says he cried out of the belly of hell. It could mean Sheol, the word there, a place of departed, but I believe, along with William McDonald, helped me to see this as he's seeing this as if like from a pit, from just using, in a sense, the language of just metaphoric language, the deepest, darkest pit. And this is what he's speaking of here, in a sense. And now that's where he's at. And he says, "This. Look at his faith. In verse 4, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." This goes all along with how Jonah knew who the Lord was. And he speaks of how the Lord is in chapter 4. He speaks of that the Lord is gracious and merciful. And he knew, he was a theologian. I believe he knew all these things of the Lord. And by this, that's what guided his faith. He recognized that the Lord can hear him. The Lord is a gracious God. And even if he's in the state where Jonah's at, in the chastening of the Lord, and look at the fruit that it brought. We'll try and turn quickly to the, and this is where we're at, right here in chapter 2. In the school of God, the penitent man. Jonah is a penitent man. He's a repentant man. He's a man that has realized that the Lord is working with him, and he's now turning to the Lord. One that was running from the Lord is now, because of God's chastening hand in his life, because God loves him, he is turning to the Lord. And you can take this for our lives. When we are found in this place, when we're hedged in, Jonah was hedged in by the Lord, and he was kept there. He wasn't going to get out. And we think of other verses in Scripture which are very clear, speaks of the sovereignty of God. When God has us there, that it takes God alone. Vain is the help of man. Man will not be able to help. Man can try and help. They can encourage you. But it has to be God that can minister to the soul and can come to the soul and bring you out. It says in Psalm 107, verse 19, I love this whole psalm. It speaks of how they cried unto the Lord four different times. They were in distress, and they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. But it took the Lord. It says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them. He saveth them out of their distress. It has to be the Lord. And he sent his word, in verse 20 it says, and he healed them. It takes the word of the Lord. And that's all it takes for us, is God's word coming to us. God's word is nothing, and it's so powerful, nothing that's so healing as the word of God. It can minister to a soul. When God is, it's for our comfort. The word of God, we can take these things for our comfort, to know that God can hear us in those places. No matter how far we might feel at the moment, God can hear us, and God will hear us. And Jonah in verse 9, there's some verses I haven't really gone in detail with, and I'm not going to, but verse 9 it says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And then he says this, salvation is of the Lord. And he seems to say this when he was in the belly of the whale. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon a dry land. This is all it took. That's all it took for the Lord. We think the Lord is the Lord able? He is very able to bring us out. That's something that we have to read. That's why it's so important for us to recognize that God is sovereign, that he is absolutely in control. So if he has us where he has us, it's for our learning, it's for our discipline at times. It could be for a number of things, that for our humbling, it could be for many reasons that we might not even know of, might not be aware of. But he is able to bring us out. And that's a great comfort to recognize that God can bring me out from my circumstances. He could bring me out from where I'm at. But so if he chooses not to, we can humble ourselves under his mighty hand. He can exalt us in due time. In his time, he can do this. So we can take comfort that this is all it takes is the word of God. All it takes is him moving in our towards us and in his grace. So Jonah recognized that God is a God of salvation. That the Lord can save him. The Lord is going to save him. The Lord did this. And he realized that God is sovereign. And God is going to have his way. God is going to have his way. And we'll see now, as we go into chapter 2, we'll think of, I'll just say one other verse that I want to share. Psalm 62, verse 5. And this is another verse that I've been encouraged by many times. About casting yourself on a sovereign God when things go very difficult for you. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And that's something that Jonah recognized in this chapter, that the Lord can bring him out. And then we think of our Lord Jesus. We think of this, we do well to think of him in this portion here, because we read of him, of the Lord Jesus, the one that in Luke, in Matthew chapter 12, he is the one that speaks of how, as John was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The Lord Jesus uses Jonah as a picture. So Jonah is a picture of the Lord Jesus going down into the depths and being kept there and until God raised him up. And God sovereignly did raise the Lord Jesus, the Spirit, by the Spirit and quickened by the Father. So we can think of this and we can think of how the Lord Jesus was also gloriously resurrected. He was by God. This is another miracle of how the Lord vomited out Jonah. The fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's a clear miracle. Like if we think about this, it's a miracle of the Lord. So, but he was gloriously vomited out, as it were. He was completely vomited. The trial was over for him, and it has had its effect. So now, that's why I wanted to focus on Jonah, because this whole, practically for us, what can we learn from Jonah? Because we can learn much from this man. The Lord has this whole thing. It's about an individual. As I study Jonah, it's very few things are written about other things apart from Jonah, the individual. You speak of his message. His message, you'll see, is only 8 words. The content of his message, he gives 8 words. 8 words from what he speaks about here as he goes to Nineveh. So now I'll just have to speed up a little bit and then speak of how, I go to chapter 3. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Verse 4, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And now we think of how the Lord, in his grace, still uses Jonah. He's a God of second chances. He did not, this is a comfort for us, it was a comfort for me to recognize it. I would disobey the Lord, and I've gone my own way at times and gone astray, as it were, and going opposite direction when the Lord gives me his word, and to realize that the Lord is a gracious God. He is a God of second chances. He says the word of the Lord came again the second time unto Jonah. So God wasn't going to give up on Jonah. God was interested in Jonah. In the whole book of Jonah, you can see, as he was for Nineveh, so he was for Jonah. And he wanted to teach Jonah. He wanted Jonah. And that's something that I was encouraged by. The whole book of Jonah is about individual, most of it. But I haven't really touched on this week, today, on the Gentiles, the men of Nineveh. And that is something that the men of Nineveh, as we thought of what kind of people they were evil, evil people. And we think of how that shows so much of the grace of God. We think of God's heart, because we think of the men of Nineveh and how, of all people, God could have told Jonah to go to. These ones were the ones that you shouldn't have. God picked the ones that were, as it were, the most wicked, the most vile. And that shows the heart of God. And he's done that through the ages. He's done that so often. That's how the Lord works. It magnifies his grace. And that's what we can appreciate from this story. We can see how God was interested not only in Jonah, but he was interested in the men of Nineveh. And the Lord Jesus, now we go into Luke 11. It speaks of the Lord Jesus. It says, the Lord Jesus says, "And the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." We think of earlier in that chapter, they spoke of the Pharisees said to the Lord, "Give us a sign. We want to see a sign." But the Lord Jesus says, "There shall no sign be given you except the sign of Jonah and the prophet." And we think of those people. They were, how privileged the men of the Israelites, they were, and the men of Israel at the time of the Lord Jesus, how they saw his word, they heard his words, they saw his miracles, it was in their face, they saw it all, they had every privilege. Here's God incarnate, behold, a greater than Jonah, far greater, is here. And they scoffed at him, as we thought of this morning, what they did to him, despicable, how evil, wicked they were, his own people, the religious people, people that were supposed to be God's people. And that's, you can see the difference here from religion. And here's Nineveh, the vilest, you think of the most evil. And you can see the contrast. You can see an incredible contrast. Here's the Lord of the covenant coming. The Lord Jesus coming. The very message himself is coming. God incarnate in his son, Lord Jesus. And the people saw him. And he came to his own received them not. They did not want him. And so they asked for a sign, as if a sign would be, there would be enough to have a sign. If the sign, they would believe. And they've seen so much of what he manifested everything towards them. They saw him raising the dead. They heard of all the miracles. What more do they want to see? It just shows the heart of man is so evil that they hated the Lord Jesus. They wanted to see a miraculous sign, as if they would change a thing. But when we think of the words, we think of how the men of Nineveh, what did they have? All he had was a word, the word of God. And William McDonald also helped me with, in what sense was Jonah a sign unto them? In which way was he really a sign unto the people at the time? He suggested that that the people would have heard that he would have been in the whale's stomach, and they would have heard that he would have been as one, as it were, someone that was resurrected, as it were, as it were from the dead, but not necessarily, but someone that was a miracle that he was here, that they would have seen him and they would have been able to see that this man, this shouldn't be like this. And he was a sign unto them. And then he spoke God's word. And you can see how, I'll go back to our Lord Jesus, how the difference. Jonah, the errand preacher, you can see how later on the men of Nineveh were asking, who can tell if God will turn and repent? Jonah could have told them. Jonah could have very well told them. You can see how Jonah didn't really necessarily, even though he went through the chasing of the Lord, and he recognized the consequence of disobedience. His heart still wasn't for the Gentiles. God had to teach him further on in the chapter. His heart was still, he didn't care about those people. He didn't even give them a message of repentance. He just gave them a message of judgment. He says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Do you hear anything of repentance? That God, if you turn, God will repent. If you turn from this, as the messages were to Israel. But Jonah doesn't give a hint of that. The people were wondering, who can tell if God will turn and repent? And the whole city repented. What an amazing, this is, again, an attest to the sovereignty of God. And we think of how the Lord used an errant man. But Jonah is now here obedient. He is obedient to the word of the Lord, and he does go. And God blesses him and blesses this ministry. But Jonah was, as you can tell, that he didn't have the heart of God towards those people. And that's a great challenge to us. When the people that we walk with and we deal with on a daily basis, we're content to have the God, our God, for ourselves. We love talking about him. We love having him in our lives. But how are we to those who are around us? Does our heart yearn for their salvation or care for them in the way God does? And thankfully, God always makes the first move. He did this twice with Jonah. And you think of back in the book of Acts, and the Gentiles, you can see how he also, in Acts 10, to the centurion, he goes to speak of the centurion, the Gentiles there to believe. And as Jonah is to the Old Testament, so is the book of Acts to us. God's heart towards the Gentiles. And the same people back then in Acts 10, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive, after Cornelius was saved and the Holy Ghost came upon them, he says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He is impartial. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And then Peter, you can see the same kind of in the early church. You can see how Peter goes back and the people heard that he had gone into men with men uncircumcised and they to the Gentiles. And they rebuked Peter, as it were, in the early church. It was almost like he is the God of the Jews. He is our God, but they couldn't properly take it in that God was a God of the Gentiles. He loves the whole earth. Is it a light thing that he should only be unto Israel? He is unto the outer ends of the earth. Psalm 49, it speaks about his salvation to the whole earth. That's God's heart. So now here we see back in our Lord Jesus speaks of them and how they repent. There's so much I could get lost in this. So I just want to speak of our Lord Jesus and how the power of the word of God. That's all the men of Nineveh had. They had a word of God that came to them. And we think of our Lord Jesus and how he spoke to those people at that time. And the greater than Jonah is here. He spoke to them. It just shows that man's heart on his own, they're so evil, they need the power of the word of God. They will not believe because they see a sign. They will not believe because you can make it so clear to them in the sense of give them the word of God. That is what we speak. We think of here. We see Peter, 1 Peter 1 verse 23. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever." And it is, so we can see how it is that power in the word of God, and we can preach. And think of those men. They wanted a sign. They thought that a sign would suffice. They would believe back in the Lord Jesus if they saw a sign. But you think of the rich man and Lazarus. We think of how the rich man would say, go back to my brethren and tell them if someone rise from the dead, they would believe. And what is the answer? They have Moses and the prophets. If they will not believe them, they will neither will they believe if there was someone rise from the dead. So we can see how we can have the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it's, thoughts scattered and much things, if I were to follow my notes, it could get more clear. But there's so much we can learn of chapter 2 and chapter 3 of where God hears us when we're in our desperation, we seem in darkness, God can hear us there. And it's also a picture of our blessed Lord Jesus in death, burial, and resurrection, and how he was gloriously raised. And also we can read of God's heart towards the men of Nineveh, those who were Gentiles. And that's who we were. We're so thankful that God's word came to us, because we are really those Gentiles. We are not the people of Israel by nature, by our birth, but naturally. We are Gentiles, as it were, but God has had mercy on us. And we're so thankful that God's word came to us where we were, so we can appreciate these things of God's heart. He's the one that always makes the first move. And how he did that with Cornelius in Acts 10, we can see how the Lord first moved towards the Gentiles. His heart is always the one that will first move towards the heart of the individual. Our hearts get so cold. We don't even sometimes care about our fellow, the people who are not saved. And we ought to. May the Lord give us a fervency in our souls. And so there's something in Jonah for every one of us, whether it be for comfort, whether it be for correction, for a reproof, for things that we can learn from Jonah, that God is also a God of second chances. You think of here how incredible. You rarely read of anywhere where it was so great a revival, incredible. I don't read anywhere apart from the greater than Jonah, the Lord Jesus. He is the ultimate. But I mean, you think of Peter. Peter also is a man of second chances. The Lord had 2,000 received and then 3,000. You can think of Peter and how he failed and how the Lord used him mightily. So we can, each of us can take comfort from Jonah in one way or another. We can be encouraged. We can be corrected. We can learn much from him. So I know I didn't cover the whole chapter 4. There's so much in there, but